It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our trouble will be out of sight. And have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now, no problem. Let's just end on a high note.
Christmas wish list this year.
That's kind of hanging out that stuff on a personal side. Just trying to get the team ready to go next week against the Jets. We're just trying to get the team ready to go against the Jets. I'll just leave the personal questions aside for right now. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985.
Is that one of Belichick's best get your shine box moments? Because it's such an easy question to answer.
No, it's personal.
It's such a fluff, just...
No, it's personal.
What's on your Christmas wish list?
Personal.
You know what? A win against the Jets. Ha, 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 ha. You know, so, throw something lame out there, but you know what?
Personal.
I really don't feel like talking about that right
when
now.
When you're a 60-something-year-old man with grown children, it's secret.
I want a double-sided sexual device.
That would be fairly personal.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've gone to the bathroom. An enema could possibly would be something that I'm interested in.
I mean, that really is. That's one of my all-time favorite. Just like, yeah, and we're not going to deal. I'm not going to deal with your shenanigans here. In my press conference, I'm not going to even allow that in this moment.
Yeah, what's your Christmas list? It's very personal. It's like asking me for my last doctor's report.
Right.
I want to refill on my Valtrex prescription.
You get older and you have to go to the bathroom a lot.
It'd be Flomax.
I need a heavier flow.
Right.
It's not coming at the rate that I would enjoy.
It's a little drippy.
It's like, this is happening to me. Do you ever go to the urine there, and then you leave, and then you got to go back to urine?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, that happens to everyone at a certain point.
See, I'm thinking that this is the year the age has been felt.
Yeah. The older you get, the more bullets are left in the chamber.
Correct.
This is the year that I'm starting to feel like age creeping in fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's things that But I damn, I will not let, hell be damned, I will not let someone touch my prostate. That is not happening. And I find it fascinating that people are afraid to get colonoscopies where they essentially knock you out, but they're more than happy enough to get the prostate exam. I was talking to someone who got a prostate exam, and they said that their father, I was talking to someone on Sunday, and their father had told them, because this is what I do, I sit around and talk about prostate exams, and they said that their father had told them that it was, the father was administering it. No, but the father said that it takes 5 seconds. So the guy's like, okay. And he goes, one, in his head, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's still going on. And so now he's in a complete panic that this is never going to end. And it ended like after 10 seconds, but that was double what he was promised. And so the last 5 seconds seemed like a century to him.
You can't just find a happy place for 10 seconds or maybe...
I mean, what? If a plane's careening towards the earth, I mean, 10 seconds is going to feel like 5 hours. I mean... You know, we interpret time differently based on our situation.
You know, maybe have a couple margaritas before you go, loosen up, you know, get in the party mode.
Well, if I will demand heavy sedatives.
Sure.
Before that will happen. And it seems almost barbaric now. Like, they can't find another way to do it. It has to be that invasive. I mean, they can fix my father had like a triple bypass and they never made an incision in his chest.
It does seem strange that of all the technology and everything that's advanced in medicine, it still is the old whoop to test up there.
They put their fingers in the rectum. They put their fingers in the rectum. You don't have to be coy about it. I mean, that's what they do. It's a medical procedure.
Sure.
Just like you described.
You're right.
It's exactly right.
I just always think of Moon River from Fletch.
That's what it is.
Well, that's what it is called.
Yes.
But it seems barbaric. My father had a triple bypass, and they went through his groin, and I'm not saying groin as a... not to say something else. They went through his groin area and they put a tube in there and went in. And you would never know if he took off his shirt, you would never know that he had had that procedure. Now, young sickly Nick, they had to basically take a sledgehammer to his chest.
Oh, I mean, they ripped apart everything. I mean, that was
young sickly Nick was in no position to complain about anything. I mean, they ripped his heart out and put it back in.
Mola Ram style. That's right. He's got a big scar right down his chest. Now, I've wondered because there's a lot of people who end up having that kind of surgery who like to get like...
Bird is in no interest of the phones. He's just like, whatever.
They ringing?
He goes, I can't hear him. Well, and then, in fairness, Bird, I mean, if you can't hear him, why answer him?
It does light up. I mean,
but you're here for a lot of reasons. You know, your smile and your carefree ways. I wish there was a bicycle here so you could ride around more.
He's going to be our primary phone screener for the time being, from what I hear.
Oh, good.
He's going to be the primary phone screener for, for the time being, for like a couple years. So, I mean, look out, world. Keep calling in. You're definitely got a 25% chance of getting the phone picked up. But there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. And it's got to be better, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be a better
more
thing.
More effective, right. I also don't understand how you can get that much information from just that couple of moments.
Right.
You know, I mean, that doesn't seem, there's no camera in your finger.
Right.
No, it seems kind of archaic.
Yeah. It's exactly what I'm thinking.
It's almost like on the same level as like leeching.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I truly believe that. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Tim?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I mean, like, I'm half asleep and listening to the radio here while I'm driving to work, and you guys really got to talk about prostates?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Without
All right,
a doubt.
So, it seems absolutely barbaric.
As opposed to what?
All right. You know what I was doing there, John? Ignoring the call. You can pop in there at any time. Give it credence. So I, it seems barbaric. It seems like something that they don't crack your head open to see if you have a concussion.
But then again, the concussion thing is, you know, there's other things that you can compare it to. I just don't know why.
Everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that's that invasive. Nothing. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, what do you think's worse? Having a guy's finger in your butt for a few minutes or spending the rest of your life wearing a colostomy bag because you didn't get something checked when you should have?
Well, that's true. I would say that the difference is that there has to be a third option.
But there isn't. I look at my neighbor.
I will look at your neighbor. I would love nothing more than to meet your neighbor.
Like, isn't there like a butt MRI that you can find out? Like some sort of X-ray?
I think that they could even take blood tests. Wouldn't that work out for you?
Well, a blood test might give you an indication that there's something wrong somewhere in your body. I don't know if it would pinpoint that it was in your prostate. But, I mean, wouldn't an X-ray do the trick?
And before a colostomy bag, wouldn't you have some knowledge that something was going wrong? I mean, the colostomy bag seems that you'd be way down the hill.
Well, I mean, you cannot know. I mean, you can have advanced, you know, it can be advanced at that point.
Well, they say not to do it, that you don't have to do it till you're 50. I don't know what you, but, well, John is, he's had seven.
Fun time USA.
See, to me, it's just on the calendar. Every Groundhog's Day, I just go in there and just.
Yeah, no, I've been getting it pretty regularly for the last few years. Yeah.
I don't understand why you're getting it. You don't have to at your age.
No, I've actually gotten, I get like normal checkups. Like about every 3 years, I go in for a checkup. And the last time I went in, I got it done. That was last year.
Yeah, see, I tell them no bueno. And they don't care.
Every year since I'm 45, I started a little early.
My new
looking back on it,
my doctor that I've had for the last like 5 years doesn't think it's necessary. But I had one of those concierge doctors. Mm-hmm. And they, she wanted to do the whole kit and caboodle. She wanted to like put the stickers on me and
the stickers.
Yeah, like the thing that they put the stickers
on. Oh, where they monitor your like heart rates and everything. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, it's the Dolph Lundgren Rocky IV stuff. Yeah,
is that an EKG?
Yeah, probably. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Do you want to get scut up? I'm half asleep. We're going to talk about prostate.
Bad news for bad news.
I'm
for
half asleep.
Oh, are you also a Ziggy cartoon?
I'm half asleep going into work. Oh.
What does that have to do with anything? If you don't like it, turn the stupid show off. All right, go ahead.
All right, so bad news for the Bruins. And Fred, I know you're going to love some news that's been leaking out of the Patriots organization.
A dribble of urine from someone with a bad problem.
Well, in your opinion, it might be.
Okay. All right. We will have that all for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, what happened last night? But first, let me tell you to be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to see a good game. Two tickets to see the Patriots take on the Vikings this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. That's coming up this morning at 7:30 and 9:30. Rich,
what happened
last
night?
Go ahead.
That is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Sorry, my headphones are all screwy right now. Dunkin' Donuts, no matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos! Participation may vary. Well, as the Patriots get ready for a game that I think isn't getting enough attention for how tough it's truly going to be, the Vikings coming to town this Sunday, which means we're going to see Captain High Five Party in all of his glory. Mr. Kirk Cousins roaring to go. However, his weapons may not be. Yesterday at Vikings practice, Stephon Diggs was nowhere to be found, dealing with an injury, by the way, a knee injury, and it's kind of mysterious. Even writers for the Vikings weren't expecting this. Adam Thielen was limited with a calf injury. He is, however, expected to play. One person who was not limited in any way, however, was Rob Gronkowski at Patriots practice, who seems to be acting like good old Gronk again.
Feel good. I mean, you know, the football wear and tear and all that. I mean, you're never going to leave a game and be like, ah.
Have you ever left the game feeling
I mean, right after the game, but I mean, the next day or two, I don't know. If you play a full game and you're playing hard, then. But other than that, I feel good.
All right. Well, that's a long way from Dower Gronk that we've been getting, Goth Gronk, over the past several weeks.
Well, he had the big touchdown catch.
Well, that's very probably got him back into party mode. Well, by the way, Dwayne Allen, the lone Patriots absence yesterday. And for everyone who thought that after the runaway bride act he pulled against the Colts last year, Josh McDaniels would never be able to land a job again. Apparently, we all underestimated the lack of anyone out there qualified to coach an NFL team because McDaniels is reportedly on the top of the list of 4 to 5 different teams this offseason because they're saying that there might be as many as a half dozen coaching changes during the offseason.
I was reading about that, so he's obviously not going to the Jets.
Well, this is interesting because there was a column by ESPN's Dan Graziano, which, by the way, sources tell him that McDaniels is still interested in becoming a head coach again next season if the right opportunity comes along. That means he's letting the world know behind the scenes, you know, I might listen. So
Well, you pushed out every time before.
What's changed?
Well, no, I'll tell you what's changed. I think that it's a situation
from McDaniels is in, not from the. I understand.
No, what's changed for McDaniels' end is nothing. Is that he's okay? I'll give you an example from something I know, and then everyone can get upset because it's Detroit centric. But Tom Izzo had absolutely no intention of leaving the Spartans. And he got wined and dined and did a Paul Stanley when the Cleveland, what's his face over in Cleveland, Gilbert?
Gilbert.
Yeah. The Detroit guy went to Michigan State, desperately wanted him. And he was like, I don't know. Should I go? and then at the last minute, he's like, I can't. I got to stay.
Right.
And McDaniels will test the waters again. He will be offered the job in Green Bay, or at least be on the radar. He'll be offered a job in Tampa Bay.
Cleveland too. Yeah.
Cleveland is interested in, let me see here.
Well, from what the reports were yesterday, it was that Cleveland and Green Bay are two of the more realistic ones that McDaniels would go to if offered the job. Now, whether
McDaniels
or not.
McDaniels is insane to go to Cleveland.
Well, I mean, that's bad ownership, obviously.
That's the point.
He's got the quarterback of the future, John.
He does. He has great. I think Baker Mayfield is going to be really good, but I think the owner is what? The owner has been indicted? What has Haslam been?
I don't know. His brother's the governor of Tennessee. He's fine.
Okay, so the one thing about Cleveland, if you went there, now, the ownership's awful. We know that. However, if he stays as a coach here for New England, there's a point that you guys continue to bring up that might be the reason he might want to go. And that's because what happens if Josh McDaniels in his first year as head coach here, if he is the heir apparent, Belichick leaves, what happens if he goes 9-7?
He's not.
Is that a failure?
He's not going to go 9-7.
Okay, well, let's say he goes worse than 9-7.
Yeah, he'll be under 500.
It's immediately he's a failure.
And he should have taken jobs before. You're right. You know how everyone said, oh, you're going to take the job in Indiana? Imagine if Frank Reich now looks
the happiest man on earth right now.
Frank Reich looks like a genius. Yep. He's got Andrew Luck playing. And if he hedged his bets after he hired a bunch of coaches and then walked away like yellow belly. And
darn tootin'.
Well, I mean, he's a pussy. Told you this before. I mean, he can't leave the nest. And everyone's like, oh, his family's family. You move your family around. You picked your profession. To get another job if you don't want to move your family around.
But the situation with the Browns, if he was to go there, the one benefit would be, let's say he gets them to the playoffs. I mean, that dude is set for a while. There's not going to have anybody who is going to try to kick him out for at least several years. Well, and there's potential that he could do that with that Browns team.
Maybe. Yep. I wouldn't roll the dice.
But the measure of success is a lot lower if he's the coach of the Browns.
Too many other jobs that are much more attractive that he can get hired.
Give me more than the
Green
Packers.
Bay.
Give me more than the Packers. Because the Packers, we all agree, is the most attractive.
Tampa Bay.
No way. No way. That's not even. I don't even think Tampa Bay's got good ownership. Tampa Bay's been a mess for a long time. And on top of that, who's their quarterback, Fred?
It's Jameis Winston.
Is it? He only played half the games. Yes. You see what I mean? They don't have a good position. They're not in a good spot right now. Whereas Cleveland is set up the right way, and so are the Packers.
Baltimore.
Who's their quarterback?
Baltimore is going to make the playoffs.
Lamar Jackson?
Harbaugh stays.
Is it Lamar Jackson? Is that his name, the backup?
Lamar Jackson is right now the quarterback.
He's been great. And he has been, for the little he's played.
For a couple of games. Yeah. Let's see what happens when an outside linebacker runs him down.
Sammy D's playing this weekend.
Didn't he rush for like 100 yards? Like
his first game out, yes. Right. Yes, he did. And it prompted Michael Vick to say, whoa, slow down a little bit.
Those guys last in the NFL nowadays.
That's a good sign. That's like Trubisky. Everyone's on his jock, and it's like, no, he's running.
Yeah.
He's running. Yeah. He's not a good quarterback.
But quickly about McDaniels in Foxborough. He took a lot of money to come back. He was convinced to come back, and everything was great. He settled in, and we all thought, of course, he's been promised a head coaching job after Bill leaves. Why the change of heart? Why? I mean, either A, he looks at Brady losing a step and realizes, okay, you know, this the future isn't quite as bright. I want to get out of here before things really go south. Or B, Belichick said, well, I intend to stay at least another 5 years.
I wouldn't hire him. I wouldn't hire him. Look at how Patricia's doing. Well, there's a chance Patricia could be fired.
Say that, but there's 16 or four to five teams that want him.
Yeah. Well, I'd go the McVay route, and I would take a young, brilliant offensive mind.
McDaniels. A young, brilliant offensive mind.
He's not a brilliant offensive mind.
The league thinks he is.
Well, the league also knows that he's not...
He's won.
He's not... No, he
He's been trained
won.
By the best, and which I know well, is not... doesn't mean anything.
The coaching tree of the Patriots is terrible.
I understand that.
He was trained by the best, went to Denver, and failed miserably.
Yeah, don't... So trained by the
best... He won his first six games there, John.
Five, and then what did he finish? 6-10?
So, by the way, trained by the best is not true.
He drafted Tebow in the first round. No. He knows what he's doing.
I know. The future of the NFL... I'd rather take the coach from Texas Tech. I mean, that's the future of the NFL, is a guy that has got a futuristic spread offense that can work with a quarterback.
Yes.
I don't need Josh McDaniels.
Fred, but take all that away. You may be right, and you are right. But Josh McDaniels is wanted by these teams.
Yeah.
So
I know he is. All I'm saying, if I'm a team, I don't hire Josh McDaniels. I don't think he's got the right he's not right for the job. He's too weak.
I think that would have ruined me. What happened with the Colts? I think if I was an owner, that would have been enough for me. And it doesn't seem to be. But I mean, doesn't that also?
He'll get. I mean, people are dumb. I mean, he'll be someone that they want. I mean, like, hooray, you won with Brady. I mean, so did Bill O'Brien. So did Patricia.
Yeah. More to your point, Lincoln Riley, the head coach at Oklahoma, that kid Kyler Murray is one of the favorites for the Heisman this year. That's a guy who's being looked at as the next head football coach.
Yep.
I mean, Oklahoma has that offense, has that spread offense. They throw the ball all over the place. They score a ton of points. He apparently is the top choice of many NFL executives if they're going to hire from college.
Yeah, and if I'm Cleveland, do I want McDaniels or do I want a young futuristic coach to work with my quarterback, or do I want Josh McDaniels who's had Tom Brady for all this time?
I think that the reason he is once again throwing his hat in the ring is, one, he can't resist. And I think he likes people talking about
him. Of
course he does. That's
why he did the Izzo.
But B, I also think that this is the year that the stone cold realization that the Patriots have no future plan has hit him in the face.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing lying in wait as far as a quarterback, as far as what you do once the Tom Brady era is done. They have put all their chips in a pile, and the expiration date is in a year and a half. That guy's gone.
They put all their chips in a pile and then got nothing out of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're McDaniels, this has to be the year you jump ship.
Well, that's the thing. More to Fred's point, if I'm another owner, that's the reason why I don't draft McDaniels. He was all in. He was all in, hired coaches, and then stepped back and went back to the Patriots, and now a year later he's leaving again?
Well, in the big...
That's just what I want, a head coach who's very committed to the direction he goes in.
Well, and also people bought and thought it was nice that he said he didn't want to leave because of his family. Well, if you're going to have a problem leaving, I don't want you.
Well,
offer Rich and I $3 million a year to come to your city. We're moving. Leave your family. Uproot your family. Yeah, it's called what work is.
Sure.
People have to do it. And if you're in a job that has 32, literally only 32 openings that you could possibly ever have, the school system in Foxborough is so great? Give me a break.
Fred, you're looking at a league that is considering rehiring Hugh Jackson in a head coaching position.
Yeah, they say that about Cincinnati. I don't know. Well,
just the fact that
me.
Hugh Jackson stayed that long as a head coach.
No,
that's why Josh McDaniels is a valued asset.
I know he will get offers. I know he will. I'm just saying that if I was a team, I wouldn't do it. I don't think he's got the moxie.
I agree. After what he pulled with the Colts, before that, Fred, I would have disagreed with you. But after the thing he did with the Colts, it's like you just can't trust that guy.
I don't know what he's done so much that's revolutionary.
I mean, you're right. He's had Brady, so it's tough to gauge. However, what he's been able
to do. Guys get hired.
The people around him.
Yeah, I mean, guys get hired. Sure. It's not necessarily the talent. It's the talent that they have coaching. Like, for instance, Brian Billick, who won a Super Bowl in Baltimore, was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. It just so happens he had Randall Cunningham and Randy Moss. They went 15-1 that year. He went to Baltimore. That offense in Baltimore was horrible.
Yeah,
they
won
because
Super
of his
Bowl.
Defense.
Well, but he won a Super Bowl.
It's because of Ray Lewis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 5-15-75. I went out to dinner with people last night, and they made me do Ray Lewis.
Well?
5-15-75.
Yeah, just as good as Nick. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, let's get to that bad Bruins news, unfortunately. And also, speaking of Hugh Jackson, boy, is he dumb. We have a great Hugh Jackson story about just how dumb he is.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Vikings this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Your chance, 7:30 and 9:30 today.
Man, the Bruins are becoming a hospital ward on skates. After he got hit in the throat by a hockey puck on Monday night, all indications were that he was going to be just fine, but the Bruins announced yesterday Kevin Miller will miss at least 5 weeks after suffering a cartilage injury to his larynx. And will be reevaluated at that point for a potential return to the lineup. What a kick in the nuts to a team that's already been beaten to crap and held together by duct tape and guys named Colby Cave. So here is Bruce Cassidy on the Miller situation.
We didn't think it was that serious, and I guess they looked at it again and obviously found something. So we were worried about his breathing, swelling. Hopefully he comes back, or when he does come back, he's healthy, ready to go. We'll miss him. We saw it when he wasn't out of the lineup. I thought we weren't as gritty as a team or as hard to play against, so that's the part we really meant.
So are they just going to get targeted?
Yep.
You got no Kevin Miller, you got no Chara.
So if you don't believe in the physicality of the game and on-ice policing, and I'm not talking about just fighting, watch the Bruins now for the next few weeks because there's no incentive for people not to go after him.
Yep, not to take liberties. But
McAvoy's got to play.
Well, okay, so let's get to that. Okay, first of all, there is some good news. Brandon Carlo returned to practice yesterday. Had no restrictions, and it appears that he might have a chance to possibly play tonight against the Islanders. However, as you were saying, Fred, this McAvoy situation does seem as clear-cut as to what's really going on here. Here's Bruce Cassidy on where Charlie McAvoy is on his road back. I'm kind of reading something in between the lines here.
I saw him this morning. Seems in a good mood, but didn't join us, so I don't have much there. I suspect he's getting closer. It seems like I haven't heard any setbacks, so that's good news. But it'd be nice to, until he's out there with us in contact, then I guess it's, you know, with an injury like that, it's hard to speculate.
That to me sounds like we think he's ready.
Right.
Our doctors think he's ready.
Well, that's what's going on, is that they believe, and here's the trump card that he has, is that with a head injury, it's the player's decision. You cannot, and most of the time, rightly so, that you cannot dictate what a player does because it's not something that you can adequately measure. But McAvoy's been traveling with the team. He's been skating. You know, he hasn't been in a room, a dark room, you know, not being able to watch television. And the team is, from what I've heard, getting pissed. Like, dude, what's going on? Like, you know, he's been skating for how long now, John?
It's been like 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's two weeks thereabouts. He's traveling on the plane. He's going around. He's in fine spirits. He's not experiencing, from anything I've heard from the team and from people around the team, he has not been experiencing anything that you would look upon as being debilitating, yet he's not playing. Now, is that a situation where his agents are like, slow it down? Because my theory at first was like, you know, this team long-term is McAvoy and Pastrnak, and they would protect him with anything. But that's not the case. It's not the team telling him not to play. It's entirely on McAvoy.
So you said it at the beginning there, is that when it's with a head, you can't really rush people back. However,
right.
Bruce Cassidy is around people who have that type of injury a lot. And when you hear him start off answering a question about him with,
I saw.
I mean, first of all, just the,
No, they're pissed. Yeah, I know they are. Right, I mean, I know they are. Yeah. I mean, they are. They're pissed. Or if not pissed, they're annoyed because it's been a really long time. He's not showing, from what I've heard, he's not showing any signs of any kind of setback. I mean, can you imagine? Like, he's traveling and laughing and skating around and having the time of his life, but he's not playing when they desperately need him to play.
Well, there's still a chance the Bruins are going to have to roll with a defensive core of Torrey Krug, Matt Grzelcyk, John Moore, Jeremy Lauzon, Stephen Kampfer, and Connor Clifton for the foreseeable future. That's, of course, if you don't get what's-his-name back.
Carlo.
So, yeah, Carlo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what happens with McAvoy. I hope he's not that type of player. I hope he's not a guy that's going to milk things. But he's got him because with a head injury, you can't – I mean, there's nothing you can say because, it's again, it's not something like a knee where you can have a doctor come in and say everything's fine. It's unquantifiable.
And there's a chance it's all legitimate, but as I said, what you've got a guy like Bruce Cassidy who's been around that before, and he goes
– I saw him this morning. Seems in a good mood.
Yep.
But didn't join us.
That's what they've been saying apparently for over a week now, is they've been going, all right, dude, you seem fine.
Right, right.
Like, why aren't you playing?
Well.
So that's something to keep your eye on.
Now, Sunday we got one of the best sound bites of the year when Cordarrelle Patterson told the media why he grabbed the junk of that Jets lineman in that pile.
Can you tell me what happened on that fight?
I got tackled. That man was all in my face trying to put his in my face and I was trying to get his ass up off me. Simple as that.
You don't want that in your face?
Nah, I'm a grown man. I don't need nobody ass and balls in my face, man. That's disrespectful.
Well, that's
grown man. Well, then don't play football because I got news for you.
You're going to get that a lot.
Balls are going to be in your face quite often, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Occupational hazard, if you will.
Sure. And by the way, like, you were right. I thought he was standing up, but he wasn't. He was on his knees.
Like, right there.
Yeah, but I mean, what did the guy do? Well, he's just sitting there on his knee.
I mean, I think he was taking too long to get up, and there might have even been a lean situation.
Him.
Yeah, but he was right, his head, his crotch is right next to his head. Maybe there's a lean-in situation.
Guys lean on other guys' gallbladders, it happens.
Get off
man.
My gallbladder.
That's right.
Yeah, and then they go in the locker room and do Zoloft stuff. So,
yeah, there is kind of a weird...
Yeah, if you're afraid of balls, don't play football. At least go in the locker room.
Or don't hang around Zoloft. Right. Well, yesterday on NBC Sports Boston, Gerard Mayo told Tommy Curran that a nut grab might have actually cost the Patriots one of their Super Bowls. Take a listen.
Yeah, he did a grab. And you know the funny thing about it? The funny thing, I guess it's not that funny. I remember 2008, my rookie year, I was watching film of the 2007 Super Bowl. Pierre Woods had a fumble at the bottom of the pile, and he lost it somehow. I don't know, because back then, whoever came out with the ball, that's who got possession. Next thing, so I said, Pierre, what happened on that play? He said, man, someone grabbed my balls. I'm like, bro. You don't need your balls. You need a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you need a Super Bowl ring. Because you don't need your balls.
For my balls.
You need a ring. Okay. So there you go. By the way,
you said I had to be castrated to win a Super Bowl. I'd take the not winning that Super Bowl.
I would say I'd like to keep my balls, please.
Yes.
So I saw Ben Volant tweet this out yesterday, a website called MakeNFLPlayoffs.com.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Which is just as amazingly nerdy as it sounds. Says the Patriots have a 21.67% chance of getting the one seed and a 49.2% chance of getting a first round bye.
How do we know this? What facts and figures go into compiling that number?
Schedule, vlippity vlorp, vlot wing wang, and all the other stats.
I don't want to know.
By the way, Fred, you'd appreciate this. Pro Football Focus, which I check on every once in a while, have their team of the week, and they grade each player on the field for each team each week. Jamal Adams, for his performance against the Patriots, graded out in the 70s. What that means, I don't know.
Is 70s good?
Yes, it is. Well, apparently, since Jamal Adams made the NFL, the Pro Football Focus Team of the Week, yes.
Oh, well.
Congratulations to Jamal Adams.
I'm sure he's
who's the big winner?
It's like a Hershey bar or something for it. I don't know.
Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, so let's get to the Celtics last night. Cedric Maxwell was on TV and, of course, was as Cedric Maxwell as it comes. On top of that, we will get to that Hugh Jackson story about his incompetence.
All right, we will return in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Yo! This is the best Van Halen song, in my opinion, and they opened with it when I saw them a couple years ago, and I left right about halfway through this song. He refused to sing it.
I warned you.
And if you're not singing the first song you're playing, I have no patience. I didn't buy my ticket.
Meanwhile, Hagar's just crushing it, singing every note to every song.
Yeah, if only he was good, then it would be different.
I didn't mind Van Hagar.
I don't like Sammy Hagar, except for his book. I invented the mountain bike. I had a sweet travel business.
Don't leave out the sprinkler systems.
Well, I didn't even remember that.
He had a company, a sprinkler system company, where his people would go in and install sprinkler systems. He had that on the side, in addition to the mountain bike company and the travel agency.
Now he's worth about $10 billion.
He lives in Hawaii.
Cabo Wabo.
He lives in Cabo.
Yep.
Oh, he lives in Cabo now?
He's in Kila, yeah.
His partner lives in Hawaii, okay. this agent that he worked with. All right, Rich, what's going on?
So Cedric Maxwell last night was on the old television trying to explain what is going wrong with the Boston Celtics, and he did it in a way, next to our friend Gary Tangway, in a way that only Cedric Maxwell could do it.
I think the thing that with Tatum is that people had elevated him last year to, he was the next best thing in the NBA. He was that sandwich. But when he comes back and he has to get into a role of playing behind different guys and not knowing when he's going to get the ball, this is one team that has too much talent. The thing I'll say and put it this way, you have young kids. What happens when you put too much peanut butter on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Ain't good no more. It ain't that good, but you have so much talent on this team that I think that they have to shift it and find a way to get other people involved. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I can relate, but I'm a fluff guy.
Well,
I like marshmallow.
That's where you and I will change, okay? I'm not eating no fluff.
Oh, fluff?
Dude. I hate fluff, man.
Oh, Max, come on. That's not American.
The second he said sandwich, I'm like, that's literally his go-to word, isn't it?
He is Sylvester the cat. Like, he is a cartoon version of an animal. Obsessed with food. And what's funny is the few times I've met him at Celtics games, which might only be twice, he had an ass ton of food in front of him.
When the bow to ketchup ball exploded.
That's right.
Like now, he's like a cartoonish, like, you know when Sylvester would see like a bunny or something and it would look like a big... like a turkey.
Sure. It'd immediately change into it and then change back. Yes.
That's what he's looking at all the time. He's obsessed with food.
He loves food. Any kind of food.
Ooh, pancakes. Ooh, pancakes. Pancakes.
Yeah, it's just he's just talking about what he's thinking.
It is odd.
He loves food.
He said Tatum is that sandwich. That was the first thing he said. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand what he's trying to say because he had sandwich in the mind about having too much peanut butter and whatever, but Tatum's the thing that has the too much peanut butter in it? He kind of flip-flopped on the reference there. I'm not quite sure what he means by Tatum being the sandwich.
There's a professor at Harvard that can take you through the whole thing.
Right. There's a course in Cedric Maxwell existentialism.
The metaphors are very hard to pinpoint.
Right. Well, Paul Pierce yesterday was honored at the tradition. Troy Brown was there, as a matter of fact. So was Richard Petty, randomly. Is Richard Petty from here?
No.
There's no way. He's got to be from like Charlotte or something, right?
There's no way in a million years Richard Petty's from
here. Okay, so, I mean, they had all these like, what's his name? Don Cherry was there, and they had Paul Pierce was being honored, and a bunch of other like boss, and then Richard Petty randomly. So there's a picture of Troy Brown last night next to Richard Petty, which is fantastic.
Let's talk to him about that meeting. What were the two of them discussing?
Oh, I mean, listen, Richard Petty, I bet, has a million great stories and probably isn't afraid to tell them.
Can't tell half of them to black people.
The Richard Petty type of stories, because of where he grew up and how he grew up.
Okay, he's from Level Cross, North Carolina.
Okay,
I don't think he was surrounded by many African Americans during his time. The man's 81 years old.
Yeah. Well, Paul Pierce yesterday was telling a story about when he was on the duck boats and tried a cigar for the first time.
What was your parade like, Paul? I actually threw up. You threw up on your parade?
On the parade that day. Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that.
Yes.
I threw up in the duck boat.
Did you really?
In the boat. Yeah, I did.
You threw up in the duck boat?
I was smoking the cigar. No, I was smoking the cigar, though, because I never really smoked a cigar at the time. And I was getting lightheaded. Next thing you know, I threw up.
Yeah.
He threw
up in the duck boat.
And that was the first boat now.
And that was the first
Being
boat.
That he was a captain, he was in the first.
Yeah, so he honked in the boat, apparently.
I don't understand the concept of cigars. at all. I don't find them in any way enjoyable. You can't inhale them.
I love the smell of an unlit cigar. Like, that smell is awesome.
Fair enough. I don't get... And then you'll see people... You're also committing to about an hour of having this thing in your hand.
And by the way, you know, he's right. Like, I mean, it's not as bad as, like, dipping. Like, dipping will really F you up.
Well, if you haven't smoked in, like, 3 years and you were addicted to smoking and you put a dip in. I was walking on New Year's Eve, or I did an appearance at the Stockyard in Brighton, and I was walking by the Irish Village, and my friend gave me a dip, and I just walked and then immediately fell on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, apparently I'm not getting into this bar. Yeah, that, when I was a kid, we used to dip, and it, like, made you high.
Yeah, I tried it in high school, and I got lightheaded.
Oh, yeah, it could completely, it's like a huge buzz. I mean, you're mainlining nicotine.
Oh, sure. And it's also one of those things, like, you know what? I want lip cancer. Just jam it in there. Well, the problem, let's speed up the process, shall we?
The problem with it is that you can see. Like, we worked with a guy whose gums became white and, like, started withering away. And the problem is you can see it. Your lungs, you can live under the assumption that they're not, nothing's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But your lip is a big problem.
All right, so finally, we were talking about Hugh Jackson and him being firing the back and forth between Baker Mayfield calling out Hugh Jackson, and even yesterday Baker Mayfield wasn't backing down, saying that there was stuff that was done in the locker room and in the office that he that made him so pissed and basically didn't want to shake his hand. And so Ian Eagle was on with Rich Eisen, and Ian Eagle is covering this weekend's Cleveland Browns game, and he was talking about the one time that he covered the Cleveland Browns and talked to Hugh Jackson about Baker Mayfield and what kind of offense he should be running, and Hugh Jackson's strange answer.
It's funny because we look back now on that meeting, and Dan Fouts asked him in the meeting, he said, well, you've got Baker Mayfield. Why aren't you running more of the stuff that he ran at Oklahoma?
Oh, yes.
The run pass option stuff.
And
Hugh said, yeah, great question. I agree. And Dan says, well, what's the answer?
Come on.
I agree. And we walk out of there thinking, what is going on here? And obviously, that was the end of the line. They lose that game. Baker was great in the sit-down. We were really impressed. Dan, myself, Evan Washburn, our production team. We walked out of there thinking, wow, this guy has legitimate leadership qualities. But there was something amiss, even in some of our questions regarding the offense, regarding Todd Haley, regarding Hugh Jackson. And we were not shocked when they made the decision. That just seemed to be complete disorganized chaos behind the scenes.
I just love that answer. Like, why aren't you running it? Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you this, is that...
Sounds like a good idea.
John, hang your head on that run option. That's exactly what you want out of your quarterback. He'll play forever.
Yeah, but he's got a gun, too. Well, that's the other thing, is that he doesn't have to rely on that.
Jeff George had maybe the strongest arm in NFL history. And see where he went. Run pass option. That's what I want.
That is the wave of the future for now. I don't think it'll...
Right.
Everything's cyclical. I don't think it'll stay that way. But you have to look at Mayfield's talents and think, okay,
nope,
he's good.
Nope.
You may think he's a douche. I understand it. And the evidence you provided is quite good.
No, the douche argument is settled.
Okay.
Fair enough. Once that picture came out, it settled.
You looked at the last 5 weeks and you don't think he's good?
Nope. I don't think it's sustainable. Robert Griffin III was very good.
Oh, that's different, though. I mean, there was so much more run that was dependent on him.
Mayfield doesn't run nearly as much as RG3 does.
But he's a run-pass option quarterback. You give me Sammy D every day. He might play on Sunday. Then you can watch your people.
You can marvel at the greatness of Sam Darnold.
You know what he does when he moves?
What's that?
Throws. Unlike this Mayfield fella.
Mayfield doesn't throw the ball at all?
He's got a great arm.
Arm strength, good. Hang your hat on that.
Accuracy.
He's a good quarterback,
mm-hmm,
Fred.
Mm-hmm,
he is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Embrace the
if
douche.
If they ever give us a contract here, I can't wait to spit in your faces in 2 years when he's on the streets.
Okay.
And by the way,
he's going to be out of the league in 2 years?
I'm not saying that, but I will tell you this, is that I was right about Tatum. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks
on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org.